If we could prove that Israel returned with Judah after the Babylonian captivity, we would have a serious problem. The prophets that we've already, established in the canon and in our own hearts as true prophets of God would become questionable or even so much as false prophets. Jeremiah, for example, gave prophecies already in harmony with the other prophets we've already cited in this long study, and he covers the same ground as they, but he gives more information than they. For example, Jeremiah 16:13-21, I'll read it for you. So I will hurl you out of this land into the land which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, and there you will serve other gods day and night, for I will grant you no favor. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the countries where he banished them. For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Very important verse. Behold, I am going to send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will fish for them. And afterwards I will send many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill and from the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways, they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. For I will first doubly repay their iniquity and their sin, because they have polluted my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable idols and with their abominations. O Lord, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of distress, to you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but falsehood, futility, and things of no profit. Can a man make gods for himself, yet they are not gods? Therefore, behold, I'm going to make them know. This time I will make them know my power and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So the prophecy contains several salient points that we're going to try to emphasize. The first five come from Jeremiah 16:13, the very first verse that we read. He says, I will hurl you out of this land. Well, we know he did that as they were taken to Assyria, into a land they knew not. Assyria was foreign to them. Neither you nor your fathers knew this land, in other words. So it was unknown as far as the entirety of Israel. And there they would serve other gods day and night. Well, they did that in Israel, and they will continue to do so in that foreign land. I will grant you no favor. This is, of course, a temporary situation. And we find out that the later change comes then in 16:14-15, and that's the situation of this granting you no favor and having you where he has you. 16:6 says, behold, I'm going to send for many fishermen. This fits neatly into the mission and the words of Jesus. Jesus said, come and I will make you fishers of men. And it says, and they will do their job. They will fish for them. Now, this has to do with the time when they're cast out. Israel will receive the gospel while cast out. Not all of them, but a remnant, due to God's efforts on their behalf, and that's the sending of the fishermen. So not only will he send fishermen, he's going to send many hunters. And they will hunt from every mountain and every hill and from the clefts of the rocks, as the scripture said. Let me ask you, why hunt for that which is in plain sight or not lost? For my eyes are on all their ways, God says. They're not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. So why do the hunters have to hunt for these folks, Israel? Because they're hidden to the hunters, but they're not hidden to the Lord. So Jeremiah 16:19 relates that Gentiles, this is the word goy, which is otherwise other places translated as nations, people, tribes, and faraway people, will come unto the Lord from the ends of the earth. God has told them that he would cast them far off, as in Jeremiah 1:10, where the same word goy is translated nations. In Jeremiah 31:9-10, while he's speaking to, let me put it this way, Israel / Joseph / Ephraim / Samaria, the Lord says, with weeping they will come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters, on a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, that's the word goy, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Remember what Hosea prophesied concerning this same people, saying, in the same place where it shall be said to them, you are not my people. Remember, lo, ami. Not is lo, people, me is my, not my people. Or not the people of God. In the same place, they will be called ami, which is my people. Isaiah 11 through 16, let me turn there, gives a clear statement about the restored remnant of Israel. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel, and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Then the jealousy of Ephraim will depart. Those who harass Judah will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, and Judah will not harass Ephraim. They'll be put back together, in other words, peaceably, to exist, coexist peaceably. Number 14, they will swoop down on the slopes of the Philistines on the west. Together they will plunder the sons of the east. They will possess Edom and Moab. And the sons of Ammon will be subject to them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. And he will wave his hand over the river with his scorching wind. And he will make it, will strike it into seven streams. And men will walk over dry shod. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as there was for Israel in the day when they came up out of the land of Egypt. There's some information in there that is symbolic. For example, the highway from Assyria. This speaks of coming back from the direction that they left. Then there's a prophecy that we could look at in Psalm 83, verses 3 through 8. where the people of Israel are spoken of as the hidden people. Verse 3, and they make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind against you. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. So, let me just remind you as we stop here that Israel is hidden. They are for a time somewhere where they're as a need for hunters and fishermen to go after them. But they are not hidden from the Lord. They're hidden from everyone else, but they are not hidden from the Lord. I'm probably done with this study. I think I've taken it about as far as I can take it, and have addressed as many things as I originally wanted to address. I just want to make you aware of these things, and I hope this will help you in your further study of the scriptures. I don't know where we'll be going next, but we'll be going somewhere next week. And so until we see each other again, Lord willing, Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.